Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the round 17 preview, coming off round 16 where we just went 2-3 on best bets, losing on best bets there overall. But we did win 2 out of 2 mixed matchups, my mixed matchup, 6th in a row, and then the bonus mixed matchup we arranged, but picked by the people, which absolutely cruised home. We lost both our multis. That brings us for the season to 41-21, which is 66% on best bets, which is still outstanding. And if you've had 100 on every best bet and every mixed matchup, you're up over 2,500 for the year. Big thank you to everyone who's followed along the journey so far of the 2021 NRL season with tips and analysis brought to you from the Tripod. Because I appreciate everyone, whether you're tuning in YouTube, Facebook, you're listening as a podcast. If the name Tripod doesn't give it away, this was traditionally always just a podcast. No, I've got the face for it to be a podcast, never more than that. But the fact is, a lot of people watch as a video. So for that reason, I do put a lot of effort in to try and make the graphics at least worthwhile and counteract having to look at my mug. And while I'm giving out appreciation as well, we hit 25,000 members in the Tripod Facebook group. And it's going really well. There's lots of people contributing, not just myself. But that's the best place to be if you do like all the content that I bring you every week. And a lot of others do great things too. Now, NRL round 17, we only have 4 games to get into, but I will get my teeth into those. Only one of the games has a line under 14.5, so there may not be too much competitive footy, but we'll see if we can still try and find some winners. I'm going to check the 15-1 preseason multi that I gave out before round 1 with 7 different legs for ladder position, basically 15-1, as I said. Many of you guys are riding along with me, and a few have requested that we review it. So let's check in on that and see how it's shaping up. I even get Tristan's thoughts on what he would price that at now. It's a lot shorter than 15-1, as well as him giving the bookie perspective on all the games this round. Of course, I've got another mixed matchup as we shoot for 8 straight. Genuinely one of the greatest tipping runs I've ever been a part of. And nobody in the world, or at least let's say nobody in Australia and New Zealand, can say they couldn't have got on that or missed the odds. That's the beauty of the mixed matchup. But first of all, you want to hear my best bets, and I have 2 for round 17. Let's begin with the Cowboys who face the Bunnies in Newcastle on Friday night. And my best bet is Cowboys plus 8.5 in the first half, $1.88, Ladbrokes and Neds. It's also available $1.83, Unibet and Bet365. Look, Souths will be without 5 Origin stars. Cowboys will be without 3. So neither of these teams are full strength. I think they both actually cover their holes pretty well. But clearly, the caliber of the guys that are out for the Bunnies exceeds what the Cows are losing. Then again, you can also argue Bunnies have more depth to cover. But put it this way, if these two teams were meeting at full strength, that would be a greater advantage to the Bunnies. So for that reason, I think it gives the Cows just a little bit of a sniff here. Now, I'm not really trying to bet against Bunnies. I really like what they're doing and what they're about. And they could have beaten West by a lot more last week if they really wanted to. So this bet is about me believing that the Cowboys will respond from their worst performance of the year off what's been a really poor month. They get the boost of at least getting their coach back on deck who's been isolated. Their top 8 hopes are not dead and buried. And there is enough that I've seen in this Cowboys team through that run of form earlier in the year that makes me believe they're not a terrible footy team. They go back to the scene of the crime where they got spanked last week. And once again, I'm going to go back to the well and take that first half line. I think it's a stronger play than full-time line because if they're down 10 or more, we will lose that halftime line. We'll lose this best bet. But you wouldn't feel great about plus 17.5 for the match anyway. I do feel good enough for plus 8.5 first half with the Cowboys. And then my second of 2 best bets, let's take the Sharks minus 3.5, which is $1.80 on Unibet. The next best available, because every bookie is at 5.5 for the game, is to take minus a flat 4 at $1.91 on Top Sport. They host the Warriors in what should be the game of the round on Sunday afternoon at Cogra. I worry about the mental and physical state of this Warriors team after one of the most brutal losses of the season last week to the Dragons. I talked about that in the recap. So how do they rebound from that? How do they bounce back into their preparation? But also the physical injury toll and the bruises that they copped in that game has resulted in either key players who will be out for the Warriors, players that will play in this game playing injured, or others that are coming back for their first game from injury. And when you have a squad that's a bit thin, you do worry when players come back from injury, are they being rushed back? I'm looking at guys like Walsh with the hammy, but also Nick Arima with a bit of a bad ankle coming back, and they're going to rely on those guys heavily. The Sharkies were extremely disappointing last week. They were one of my best bet losses, but I do see them rebounding. I actually like the selection of Tracy, moving him into the halves. And even if it is a great game, which, you know, hopefully it will be because there's not a lot of good footy on this weekend, it's a low line to cover. I'm more confident the Sharkies play well in this one. Their season's well and truly alive. Now, it's a very important game for New Zealand, who may keep it close, and then we may sweat this best bet. But if New Zealand are a bit off, I could also see the Sharkies putting on a bit of a score. So I like them -3.5 as a best bet. I'd still play them -5.5, $2 as well. Still strong, definitely for multis and stuff too. So those are my best bets. What that means is I would put my own money on anything I call a best bet, and they are my favorite tips of any given round of NRL that's priced at least $1.80. They don't have to be your best bets. I say every week, you know, only back what you agree with. And just on the note that we went 2-3 last week, I won't go over, you know, each and every game, nuts and bolts, because I do that in the recap. But the three losses were bad. We lost three different best bets by 20 points. We had Roosters +6.5 in the first half against Storm. They were down like 30-0. We had Dogs +12.5 first half against Manly. They were down 36-0. And we had the Sharkies -7.5 against Brisbane. They lost by 8. So if you listen to the pod each week and you disagree with what I give out as the best bet and you disagree with my reasoning, you actually could have got Storm -5.5 first half. You could have got Manly -11.5 first half. You could have got Broncos all the way up to +13.5. Those lines all moved, or at least were available, at even better numbers on the other side, and they were all way, way better bets in retrospect. And sometimes the way people talk to me after the game, it's as if they knew that before the match kicked off. So my point is as well, if you strongly disagree with my tips, jump on the other side, and there can be great value for you to find on the other side as well. Now, before we get into game by game, let's jump into our sponsored segment by the good bookie that is putting up these mixed matchups every week and getting flogged by us in the last couple of months. That is, of course, Market Watch with Top Sport.
Hello, Tripod family. It's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. It's been a pretty tricky season so far on the NRL, and obviously we're all getting used to these big lines and blowout scores, and I know there's been a topic of conversation around the rule changes, and you know, everyone's got an opinion on that, and I'm not going to go into all of that right now. But from a bookmaking point of view, it's been really difficult to assess. We've had such wide lines, lines that we've never experienced before, which not only affect the win, the line, the totals options, but also all of the exotics that we have to have priced up, and they run off our model. So it's been very difficult to look at that, because previously they were outliers and now they're pretty normal. We've got three out of the four games this weekend where the line's over 14. We've got Origin that's going to be in that sort of ballpark as well, which is obviously unprecedented away from this year. So it's been tricky. The punters have been loading up on the minuses most of the season they've been covering. I don't have the exact numbers in terms of how many they've covered, but they've been covering much more than they haven't. We've had our worst NRL season in our history. So that obviously is due to a number of those favourites continually covering. You lay a lot of multis, and as a bookmaker, you naturally try to oppose the favourites, but it's been very difficult to do. Obviously, the success of the Tripod matchup has obviously also contributed to our poor season. But there's still time, there's still footy, there's still finals, so we'll see how we go. But there is a big payout pending at the moment, which is looking a lot shorter than what the season-long bet took, which was a couple of teams to make, a few teams to miss, and then the Tigers to get over 7.5 wins. So at the moment, most of the legs look pretty good. The legs still in doubt, I suppose, are the Cowboys, although they're about $1.15 to miss. The Dragons, well, we actually pulled our Miss the Top 8 market down during the week on the back of all the news, because we're just trying to get a bit of a handle on when the Dragons are going to not play these players. I see one of our competitors has Dragons to miss at $1.50, so I suppose you take that as a ballpark. I'd probably have them a little bit shorter. So, and then you'd probably feel that the Tigers are $1.50 to cover that 7.5 line as well. I think that's going to be dictated over the next couple of weeks. The Broncos bounced back to a little bit of form recently, so that game was probably, you as a Tigers fan, you probably felt you had that one in the bag, but the Broncos may Be a bit more competitive at home in that game. Obviously, the Tigers play the Bulldogs twice and then the Cowboys. So there's four very winnable games. And then there's a couple of games there against the Sharks and a couple of other teams that if the Tigers can play to their peak level, there are a chance of winning those as well. But I think we'll have a better idea on all of those options in about a fortnight to 3 weeks. At the moment, I sort of feel it's around about the 35 or 40% chance of saluting. About the $2.60 mark, which is obviously a very good dividend when you've taken $15 originally. So punters really loaded up on that pre-season. We're standing at for about $250,000, so it'll be a pretty hefty hit if it salutes. So we weren't overly impressed with the party the Dragons decided to throw. But hey, that's football. We'll see what happens. Still a long season to go. As always, gamble responsibly.
So there you have it. Tristan touched on the 15-1 multi that he now has priced closer to $2.60 or better than a 1 in 3 chance. And as I said, with less games and with a few people commenting, asking me to talk about how I think that multi is going, I'll put it up on the screen now. It was a 7-leg preseason multi based on how I thought, you know, multiple teams were going to go this season. Some were pretty safe legs and then a couple were closer to 50-50 legs. Overall paying 15-1. And look, we picked 3 teams to make the top 8. They were all 3 teams that I personally thought would be top 4. And that's Bunnies, Panthers, Eels. So that's as easy as you like. I think that's right. It's either Bunnies or it's either Panthers or Storm. Which either way. Sorry, Bunnies, Storm, and Eels to make the top 8. So that's all happening. We had the Dogs to miss the top 8. I think I had them bottom 4, and that's gonna cash. So what it leaves is 3 legs that are still up for grabs. So one being Dragons to miss the 8. Now, I thought Dragons wouldn't be close to the 8 at all. As we all know, they overperformed for sure the first quarter or third of the season. And they made us quite worried with this leg. They played a lot better than people expected. And even last week, I was cursing at how they pulled that win against the Warriors out of the fire. But we all know what has happened to St. George this week, which is pretty brutal for the club. It's resulted in 12 different players are going to miss at least one game. All the fines, the disruption, tearing up a contract of, you know, one of your former rep forwards and one of your senior players. Now, I'm not going to jump up and down about the incident. These guys have paid a pretty hefty price, but the fact that they, you know, chose to have this party, I just feel like, you know, was it really poor judgment? And they actually thought because they're all teammates, they play together, they train together, that gathering together, they innocently thought it wasn't breaking the rules. If that's the case, I just feel like any player can, you know, reach out to a staff member at the club or just check, hey, we're all going to gather. That's going to be sweet. The fact that seemingly nobody did that seems to suggest they knew they were doing the wrong thing. They just thought they'd get away with it. And that's quite disappointing behavior. Obviously, as I said, they've paid ultimate price. I saw Ray Hadley jumping up and down like his head was going to explode. You always see these middle-aged journalists, up in arms about this stuff. And I'm not going to be like that. Hopefully, you don't consider me middle-aged yet. But I mean, one point that Hadley made on NRL 360 yesterday was like the Dragons had just beaten that Warriors team in a brutal 85-minute one-point game. And look at the sacrifices that Warriors team has made for this competition to go ahead for the last 18 months. It is pretty selfish to then, you know, go and have actions like that the following day. But let's move on. So I actually think that is going to derail the Dragons a lot. They don't play this weekend, but then next week they're against Manly. And they wouldn't have beaten them even if they were full strength. And then with all the disruption and outs and looking at the odds that I'll throw up now on the screen, as well as the current NRL ladder, the Dragons are about $1.45 to miss the 8. So it is quite likely that on the back of this massive blow that the club's taken, that is going to be the case. We move to the Cowboys. They also had us nervous about halfway through the year, but they've come to a bit of a skid, albeit I've got my best bet on them this week, but that's just to keep it close first half against the Bunnies. It'd be a bit more of a stretch if they were to win this week. Most likely outcome, of course, is the Cowboys won't get a win in round 17. And we'll probably miss out on the 8. I mean, it's $1.11 for the Cowboys to miss the 8. So you've got to be happy with that. Before the season, Cowboys were $1.50 to miss the 8 when I included them in that regular season multi, which means our multi may come down to a team that you guys know I was quite bullish on before the season, which is the Tigers to win over 7.5 games. One other point I'll just make on those miss the 8. What's also really working in our favor is the Sharkies resurgence. And as you know, I've got a best bet on them to win this week. And the Knights looking really good. They looked great last week. You've got Pierce, Ponga, Clifford have all, you know, rejoined the team, and you've still got a guy like Bradman Best or Tyson Frizzell that are yet to return, and just other teams that still have hope of making the eight as well. New Zealand is still in the mix. I'll talk about the Raiders. They're not so much, but the Gold Coast Titans are not done yet either. So as I say, there's only really two spots up for grabs. If you can see the ladder on the screen, the top six are definitely all going to be top eight teams as far as I'm concerned. So as I say, 15-1, this could literally come down to the final game of the season. I will put up the Tigers run home on the screen now. We need over 7.5 wins. They have 5 wins so far. They have the bye this week. Unfortunately, the bye won't count as a win. They have 8 games left. Now, I'm straight away just going to cross off a game at Manly and a game at Penrith as losses. It still does leave 6 matches for the Tigers, which I believe are winnable. It's actually quite a favourable run home for them. And we just need 3. So on my graphic on the screen, you'll see a water gun emoji. I'm signifying that as they have a shot. So if you just need to win 3 out of 6, and they've got a decent chance in all of them, then I think we're better than 50-50. I think Tristan touched on that as well with the Tigers. So I'm talking about the 3 legs that are left in the 15-1 multi, all being likely, all being better than 50-50 in our favor. But the fact that we still need all 3 of them to come through, I also would kind of echo what Tristan has said, that I think our probability is probably a 1 in 3 shot, or maybe even better. That's pretty good to have 15-1 about that in your pocket. Don't forget the Top Sport also framed up a bunch of other preseason multis. I think there were like 20 different combinations that pod members submitted, including this one I jumped on, which was, I think, borrowed some of my concepts, but was user submitted, and I think has a really fair shot. 34-1. Panthers and Souths top 8, yes. Eels, Roosters, Storm top 8, yes. Sorry, Panthers and Storms, Panthers and Souths is top 4. And then Dragons, Tigers, Sharks miss the 8. I think Sharks could be the worry there, but Dragons, Tigers looking like missing the 8, as I've touched on. And Tigers over 7.5 wins that I've just said likely. So I've actually got a nice payday if I can get that one home. And hopefully a few of you guys have jumped on that one. That was really juicy. Well, let me know which other ones you're riding or which ones you're on. We're going to keep cheering these on, and we're going to keep monitoring over the final 9 weeks. Okay, let's get into the 4 matches. We begin with the Seagulls hosting the Raiders at Brookvale. And the line is -14.5. Manly favoured, despite the fact Tom Trbojevic is out, DCE is out. And they've got other gun players I've referred to before, Jake Trbojevic, Schuster, that are also out with injury. The first two that I mentioned, of course, out because of Origin. So Dylan Walker will play 7, bringing him into the halves there. Garrick moves to fullback, Sully to the wing, Cade Cust to 14. This Raiders team, which is obviously going a lot worse than Manly, lose 4 key starters for this one. Bailey Simonson and Elliot Whitehead are both injured. And then Papali and Jack Whiten are out with Origin, obviously. So this young fella, Savage, that got 15 minutes by mistake against the Dragons, he will start at fullback. Hudson Young is someone that is recalled into the back row to try and cover the loss of Whitehead. The first factor that comes to my mind when I look at this Raiders-Seagulls matchup is, what's the headspace of this Raiders team? You go back 2 or 3 weeks ago, they blow a 12-point second half lead to the Dragons. But then last week, you're at home to the Titans and you lose 44-6. Now, we benefited from that match very nicely. But the fact is, the Raiders have only won twice since round 4. And that was a 2-point win that they scraped home against the Dogs in Magic Round, and a win against Brisbane playing at home in Canberra. And that Brisbane team was god-awful that night. So I talked in the recap about, I think there's definite burnout factor when it comes to Ricky Stewart's coaching and his message not getting through. We look at the polar opposite now, Manly. This team is booming with morale and confidence. They have scored 50 points or more in 3 straight matches. Now, of course, we know it's not the same team without Turbo, but it's still a happy team that is gelling, is clicking. And when I look at this Manly squad that's listed to play Thursday night, like, they don't blow you away on paper, but you do know they're gonna turn up at home. They're gonna be spirited. They're gelling. They're clicking. It does seem like a large number to lay for just like that level of squad without the true big guns. Then I look at the Raiders list, and so I'm thinking, well, if I'm gonna bet on this game, I'm gonna take the points with the Raiders. But what I need to see is, are there at least a couple of guys I look at in this Raiders team that I think can step up, can win their matchup, can lead the way? You give an example, that upset by Brisbane last week over the Sharks. Like, they were a solid underdog. Nobody could have made the case Brisbane should be favored against the Sharks. But even if you're an underdog, you just need a couple of guys to kind of say, follow me, put their stamp on the match. It's exactly what Katoni Staggs, Payne Haas did. And the other players feed off that. So who's going to do that for the Raiders? And that's where it gets worrying. I know that Josh Hodgson would be a candidate. We know he's a guy that, you know, can control a game. But his performance kind of depends on, are his forwards making headway? And I look through the rest of the Raiders team. I mean, Hudson Young, I think, was a man of the match in one of their very early games this season. Ryan James, Tapanay have had their moments, but can you trust that? My conclusion is, no, I can't. So I think the line feels a bit high. As I said, Manly is turboless. But I don't have the confidence in where the Canberra heads are at. So I think, or I'll put it this way, if you think that the Raiders are going to really apply themselves in this game, then you probably chuck a bet on them to win head-to-head, because you might find over $5 and have a smaller chop on the Raiders head-to-head. If they rip in, you're going to be a chance at that $5. And if you're wrong, well, then the plus 14.5 probably wouldn't be enough. And I couldn't touch the total either, because I think the total is well and truly tied to how much effort Canberra brings. If they apply themselves, as I said, we get a tighter game. You'd love the unders. If they come in as a broken team, it probably sails over. I don't know how they're going to show up this week. That's why they've been so inconsistent. So I'm just going to leave that game alone. Move to a game that I do have a best bet on. The Rabbitohs playing the Cowboys in Newcastle. The full game line is 17.5. Clearly the Rabbitohs are favourite. But as I said, my best bet is Cowboys plus 8.5 at $1.88 in the first half. So again, it's a similar sort of matchup in that one team, clearly confidence is not an issue with the Bunnies, versus the Cowboys team that was absolutely lost last week. Now, the five out for the Rabbitohs, of course, are Latrell, Gagai, Cook, Murray, and Arrow. They bring this Blake Tafe, apologies if I say that wrong, at fullback. Benji will start at 9, and they've still got your star halves, Walker and Reynolds. They were overlooked for Origin. Could have been an option, but as I said, you can understand why Mitchell Moses was picked there. Now, what we've seen Souths do before when they were missing rep players was actually play Cody Walker at fullback, Benji to the halves, and another name I'm probably going to butcher, Mamouzalos. I know that's wrong, but he's on the bench now, is the young fella that can play hooker. Whichever combination Bunnies go with, I certainly trust that Wayne pulls the right string. In terms of the Cowboys, Val, the Hammer, and Molo are all going to play Origin, the latter there, because Fifita got suspended at the judiciary. So they're missing three guys. They do keep Felt. Tom Gilbert is back in the team off isolation. Lemuelu into the centres, and DJ Azzi to fullback, plus the return of the coach from COVID restrictions, I think is a boost as well. So as I said on the recap, this Cowboys team hasn't won for 5 weeks, and that was by a 40-metre field goal to the Warriors. They could have easily lost that. And back then, they really looked like they were going to make the finals. At this point, they look like they're really battling. And you're trying to understand what's changed. I mean, one change is bringing in guy Tom Dearden to play halfback. And I don't think it's his fault, but he's yet to taste victory for this Cowboys team. And what a tough year he's had after being down in Brisbane for the first part of the year and being tossed aside, and even go back to last year. In fact, probably fair to say, what a tough career Tom Dearden has had. So I won't write this kid off because he's not been in good situations so far. And you'd think he'll get better each week that he gets to play, you know, in the halves alongside Drinkwater. The Bunnies side still looks exceptionally strong. So as I said, this best bet is not trying to find holes in the Bunnies, despite the fact they're missing five reps. They've got good squad depth, quality, and also a very healthy team at the moment with no other key injuries. And with a rise of a side like Manly that we just spoke about in the last game, the Bunnies are still on notice here that they need to keep winning these type of games, which are very winnable, to make sure they lock up top four. And, you know, you worry about complacency with a team that's a big favourite, but I don't think the Bunnies will be complacent here, knowing that you've got five rep stars out. So I expect their mind will still be, you know, fully on the job. But I'm going to go with the Cowboys here because I think despite the fact they scored zero last week, I still look at, you know, each member of their starting spine and see players that can bring something to the table and see a bit of talent there. And I look at the forward pack, and whether it be Tamalolo at lock or the front row, like these are either former or current rep players, and the second rowers, up-and-coming players. I think there is a benefit to come back to the familiar scene of the crime, as I said before, in Newcastle, and bring a much better result here. And it basically is season on the line for the Cowboys as well. I will just trust that they can actually really rip in and keep it close, or make it an interesting game, at least in the first 40 against the Bunnies. Moving to Saturday, the Dogs host the Roosters at Wank Best. The Dogs, of course, lost 66-0 to Manly last week, and that did hurt us in a best bet. Now, overall, the Dogs can name a stronger squad this week. Four of those five players that had the COVID breach are able to return. So most notably, Waddell, Napa, Shoup, and Katoa all join the starting side. And the latter there, he replaces Marshall King, who is out. The Roosters lose Teddy and Angus Crichton, but they do regain Victor the Inflictor Radley. Drew Hutchison will start, and he'll play in 5-8. Sam Walker is named after being utterly bashed last week at the hands of the Storm. And the Roosters have that luxury of moving a guy like Manu to fullback. This is still such a star player. Ikavalu returns to the wing. Billy Smith, a guy to keep an eye on. This is a young, talented player in the Roosters squad that has kind of been forgotten because he tragically did his ACL. But this is his first game returning from that. And you've got Suwali in the reserves, who's always really capable, that can be slotted into the back line. But also, you won't be surprised if the Roosters hold him out. He's only 17 at the end of the day. Maybe they don't want to put the full rigors of week-to-week footy on him, maybe give him a breather here and there. Nat Butcher also returns for the Roosters. This is the highest line of this round, and we know how bad the Dogs are. Now, I put my hand up in the recap, and I said I did not recognize just how bad they were last week. If I had, I wouldn't have bet on them last week. So the question is now, is this Roosters squad that's missing those Origin players, plus all the guys that are injured or forced retirements this year, are they so strong that they should be favored to win this game by more than 20? And I'm not asking, can the Roosters win by more than 20? Because we'll all agree they can. But should the line be over 20? Considering that the Roosters did lose 46-0 last week. Well, in my opinion, I talked about in the recap that I actually didn't downgrade the Roosters a lot from that loss to the Storm, because I thought they started all right, then they went a bit off the boil. The Storm kind of put on a few long-range tries that rattled the Roosters and broke the game open. And then the rest of the game was really more so to me about the ruthlessness and the domination of the Storm. And that's where the credit goes, rather than reflecting badly on the Roosters. So I think they'll certainly be right as rain this week, and they will win this game pretty comfortably against the Dogs. But again, the Doggies offered a little bit of resistance against Manly for probably 10-15 minutes, and then got blown out by 20 more points than even the Roosters did, who lost by 46, because the Dogs lost by 66. And what I'm getting at is, there's no public punter in Australia who I think wants to take the Doggies with the start this week. Therefore, I kind of know that this team that got humiliated last week, that is, barely fielding 17 first grade level players, to be brutally honest, I kind of know that the line is probably value on their side. But I've got no faith in them. Kotrick was a massive loss for the season. Adam Elliott's a big loss as well. So if I was to play the minus 20, I would generally, and I still have not lost my virginity of betting minus 20 on a team. In fact, that's not the only department I haven't. But when the time comes where I share out a best bet where we take someone who's minus 20 or greater, I really need to bet against a team that I think could just fold, could give up. And although the Dogs did that very thing last week, the fact is that they've got a first-year coach, they've got hope for the future, they've got recruits that are coming. They don't need to win this game, but the individuals on the Bulldogs team do need to play hard for 80 minutes to give themselves a chance of remaining in this squad for the brighter times ahead. They're a team that always had really low expectations coming into this season, so I don't think they should get shell-shocked if they fall behind. It's just all about effort areas and trying to build habits for the Dogs. So, as I said, not enough strength of a handicap for me to take the Roosters with the minus, but it keeps me off the game. I think the Roosters will win this one comfortably. Finally, we'll talk about the game of the round. It's the game of the round for two reasons, because the top eight spot could very much be up for grabs. These sides, the Sharks and the Warriors, that is, are 2 points apart on the ladder. And it's also the game of the round because it's the only game that the bookies have predicted to be even close. Now, the Sharkies are playing at their adopted home, Kogra. They are -4.5, -5.5 across the board. But except for Unibet, where we get -3.5, $1.80, or in the alt line on Top Sport, the next best, as I said, was -4, $1.91. And that is my best bet. And quite exciting that these two teams meet in a day game. There's only one day game this week because although the Sharkies were quite poor in the Brisbane Sun last week, both these sides love to throw it around and can play some entertaining footy. You know, this Sharks team lost last week despite being a 13-point favourite. Did they get a little bit disrupted with losing Moylan late? Potentially. I certainly really liked the move of Connor Tracy to 5'8". He's played all season like wing and centre, but he actually is naturally a halves player. For the Warriors side of equation, so Walsh is a big in, RTS to the wing. Harris and Katoa both got injured against the Dragons. Toho Harris is out, and that's a massive loss. Katoa, those injuries looked bad, but he has been named. We'll see what happens there. Townsend was that mid-season transfer. He played really bravely. I know he had a clanker of a moment late in the game that I talked about, but played with a busted shoulder in that game. Not sweet to play this week, which brings Nikarima back in, as I referenced before. Are they rushing him back in off that ankle? O'Sullivan has only played a handful of games for this club. He stays at 7. They also shoehorn Matty Lodge straight into the starting prop, and I think that's a boost, but, you know, again, it's first game with a club. You wonder how they kind of gel in there. This important theory that I touched on at the top as well that I think is relevant is the brutal loss theory. It's like the inverse of a lucky win theory. And what it is that when a team suffers a really tough loss, you just wonder, do they, you know, mentally get over that one because you've worked so hard and you've fallen short, but you've got to pick yourself up off the canvas and be ready to go again the next week. But it's really hard. We see quite often a team that suffers a really, really down to the wire taxing loss the next week just cannot bring that energy level to where it needs to be and then loses comfortably. It doesn't happen every time, but it is a concern. Now, if you're on the Warriors in this one, I'm not, but if you are, you're probably hoping that that's counteracted by the fact that they still have a few winnable games left on their schedule. They're still within touching distance of the top 8. Their season is on the line. It's one of the rare games that the Warriors are on, you know, the nationally televised game. And you get your stud rookie back. Maybe that boosts the squad, just the excitement that a guy like Reece Walsh brings back into the team. But I'm looking at the Sharkies. They've got the more favourable run home. They've got the better ladder position right now. In fact, one of the best handicappers, I'll say, in the forum, Matty O'Keefe, give him a shout out. He made a very strong case for the Cronulla to make the 8 in you know, top 8 markets and betting it this week at $2, and that's still being really good value. And you guys have heard me say multiple times the last few weeks, it'd be very smart to back the Sharkies at long odds to make the top 8. And this is coming off a really disappointing loss in Brisbane, and we're all still saying the Sharkies are still in a good position. So for me, I think there's still plenty to be positive about them. Can the Warriors on their best day win this? For sure. But can we guarantee the Warriors will be at their best? No, I think they're another one of these sides that is a bit rocks or diamonds. Who knows? But I think we'll definitely get a good performance out of Cronulla. Hopefully enough to get the best bet home. And let's hope that that also gets our mixed matchup home this week. As I said at the top, we have won 7 mixed matchups in a row. If you multiply the odds of the last 7 winning mixed matchups, you get 768-1. Now, of course, you couldn't have multied them all up. Even if you did a rollover, you are limited by that 200 max bet. But I'm still trying to give you an indication of what the odds are of hitting at these odds that we get each week, 7 times in a row. That really is kind of unprecedented stuff, and it's shared all to you guys for free, and as I said, everybody can access it. And this week, I've explained, I've got my 2 best bets. I've got one where I think the Sharkies will really put on a good performance in the daylight, in front of a national TV audience, and put a few points on the Warriors with the exciting new halves combination for the Sharks. Will Chambers comes back in the team too. And it's a long shot though, because we're getting $3.50 for them to outscore the Rabbits. And every bookie expects the Rabbits to definitely outscore Cronulla this weekend. But I'm just willing to bet that it could be a much better performance than we've seen from the Cowboys in recent weeks that keeps that game a bit tighter. And of course, your 5 Origin reps out means the attack is not going to be firing on all cylinders for South Sydney. So it's not the worst week to take them on. Whereas for the Sharkies, they won us the mixed matchup last week, albeit they lost as a $1.25 favourite. And isn't that the beauty of the mixed matchup? We bet on a team that didn't even win as a $1.25 head-to-head favourite, but they won for us as $2.15 odds. So that's the great thing about the mixed matchup. We don't have to get both sides of the equation fully right. We just got to get one side more than the other. This is a bit of a long shot, but honestly, Even if the Rabbitohs, you know, don't score too much north of 30, I think we've got great odds at $3.50 coming into Sunday with the Sharkies. So a longer shot to shoot for 8 in a row on the mixed matchup. Good luck if you're going to jump aboard that again with me this week. Speaking of just other value tips I've given out as well, I think on the pod 4 weeks ago, I talked about tipping a Euros. So this is the soccer tournament in Europe. A double chance futures tip. It was Italy or Netherlands to win at $6.50. Well, we're halfway there. We've got more than halfway there. We've got Italy sitting in the final right now. $1.85 they are if you backed them right now. So we've got fantastic odds on that. I know there's a lot of English people that listen to the pod. We'll probably be cheering against England tomorrow morning, because if Italy plays Denmark, we're a super big shot to get home with that $6.50. If England wins, England may be a slight favourite with the game at Wembley. But again, it's been great fun to cheer on through the tournament. So if you're on that one, good luck. We'll know next week whether we won that as well, which is not bad. And then other big sporting events going on. The NBA Finals are on. The Suns got a Game 1 victory today. You guys know I'm a big fan of the Suns. I tipped them at $6 to win their NBA division this year, which a lot of us in the group filled up on. And there's tips every day. There's people giving really great, comprehensive and sharp tips for on a game-by-game basis for the NBA as well. So it's just another one of the beauties of being in the group. I will return, of course, Sunday to do a live recap as I do every week, but I'll also include an Origin 3 mini preview, including any best bets. So once I get a chance to handicap Origin 3, yes, it's a dead rubber. It doesn't mean we can't find value. That won't be included live. So if I do have a best bet, it will be shared live in that pod, which of course goes up live on Facebook and YouTube at about 6 p.m. Sunday night. And then if we fast forward to next week, because Origin will be on right about now, or will be looming in a week's time, I'll do the pod Thursday night. That way I can factor in all the fallout of Origin 3 as well. And, you know, it's one less thing that's on that night. I don't want to try and clash with Origin. So I'll be up Thursday night where there won't be any NRL, because round 18 will start on a Friday. All right, guys, thanks for watching as always. Enjoy the abbreviated round of footy this week and anything else that you get up to with a bit more spare time with less games. As always, gamble responsibly and Lego.